on. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Marilyn Bender, and I welcome all to church worship this morning. I'm going to outline your bulletin a bit for you. We're collecting granola bars this month for the Agape Kids Bank, or Kids Lunch Kitchen, it's called. Some things from United Church Women. The grand total is from the Grand Bazaar that was held last Saturday is now $2,013. The basket draw is being prepared at this point, and the tickets are available at the back. And also the fall bus trip up to the Rideau Center is coming up on Saturday, November the 1st. Tickets are $30, and you can speak to Deb if you want tickets for that. And getting on into fall further, the annual Craft and Art Winter Wonderland is happening November the 15th, and they're looking for vendors and help in that. Spread the word to your friends if you know any exceptional crafters. And the Knox St. Paul's Crafter started on the 16th, that was last Tuesday. And you can join them on every Tuesday just for a drop-in between 10 and 2. And there's no Sunday school today.
It works better when it's on. All right. Welcome to worship this morning. If you're new with us, a special welcome to you. And just to let you know that our liturgy is all on the screen. The words in regular print are words I say by myself. The words that are in capital letters we all say together. And I think that's all you need to know about our worship this morning. And so we take a moment as we begin to take a deep breath in and out, and we ground ourselves as we begin worship. We remember that we're situated on the traditional lands of the Onkwehonwe, and we acknowledge and we give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land. And as Knox St. Paul's United Church, we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. Let's call each other to worship. We gather here this morning, weary from the world's conflict and crisis. We gather here this morning before God who hears our cries and our sighs that are too deep for words. We gather here this morning, trusting that God also yearns for peace. We gather here this morning, grounding ourselves in God's hope and reconnecting ourselves with all creation through worship. Come, let us worship. And as we worship, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God.
Together we are committed to how God builds a city where no one dreams alone.
Let's pray. Holy God, creator of all life, you shape this world and all that's in it, the rivers and the rocks, the forests and the fields, and all the beings who dwell in it. We gather for worship, holding the tension of gratitude for this beautiful world and the cries of the earth itself, groaning under the weight of the harm we cause. Our hearts are heavy and our souls are weary. Like Jeremiah, we weep, for the hurt of the earth is our hurt too. Still, we turn to you in worship, hoping that you will meet us here, encouraging us in the work of helping to build a city where no one journeys alone. Amen. I invite you to join together and we'll sing, "Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying." It's only a chorus, so we'll sing it through twice, inviting God's presence in. Let's join in the prayer of confession, knowing that God waits for us with that joy of forgiveness. God of compassion, we confess the times we try to ignore and downplay the conflict and crisis in our world. We often hide our pain, pretending to be whole when we are broken. We turn from our neighbor's suffering, choosing silence instead of solidarity, choosing comfort instead of courage. We ignore the groans of the earth as we continue to live unsustainably. We forget your call to be a people of healing and love. Forgive us, O God. Bind up our wounds. Heal us with your balm of mercy and strengthen us that we may do your work. Amen. Well, beloved, we have the assurance that God's love never fails and God's mercy never ends. Even when we turn away, God calls us back, inviting and equipping us to do the hard work of living in God's way. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn, Our service today is a little bit of a lament, if you haven't picked that up yet. We're leaning into Jeremiah, truly into Jeremiah. And so our next hymn is God Weeps. And so it's a sad one, and it's a good one. So I invite you to join together and sing. Recognize this basket and the stones that are in there. It usually sits at the back, and some of you have already picked up a few stones and held them in prayer and placed them in the basket that we'll bring forward with our offering as we bring our prayers along with all that we bring to the work that we do. I thought I'd do something with all of us, though, with that sense of lament of God weeping with us. We hear that too in Jeremiah's scripture that we read today. And so I thought I'd pass these out. I don't know if there are enough. There's some more hidden back there someplace that I can pull out if we need to. And so I thought we'd each take one. And in our scripture, Jeremiah laments for the state of the world that he knows. The scripture is really bleak. The part we read is sad. If you read it in its context, it is rough. And we know what it is to live in a world like that. And so I thought we'd pray for our world. And I'm going to pass these out. So grab one, take one down, pass it along. And I'm going to invite you to hold it and to pray. And then come up, if you're able, and set it on our communion table. If you're not able, there are many of us who are, and so we can take your stone for you if you need help getting it up here. And so do that in your own time.
our prayers
collectively. You hold the things that we weep over in this world, and we know that God weeps with us as we pray and lament and work to change things. And so let's continue singing.
For illumination. Holy God, speak comfort to our sorrow, truth to our confusion, and hope to our despair. As we read these sacred stories, let His word heal and transform us. Help us to get a sense of your bigger picture. Amen. The psalm is number 79, and there's a response. O God, the nations have entered your domain, defiled your holy temple, and laid Jerusalem to ruins. We have become the taunt of our neighbors, mocked and scorned by those around us. Pour out your rage on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the realms that will not call on your name.
For they have devoured Jacob and desolated Israel's home.
Do not hold the sins of past generations against us.
Let your compassion come quickly to us, for we are so very low.
Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 8, 18 to 9 and 1. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me and my heart is sick. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images and with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, and horror has seized me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. May our sacred story help us, as Knox St. Paul's United Church, to hear God's continuing call to us. I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all the journey on.
Thanks, Marilyn. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm curious, have you ever read The Secret Life of Bees? Or maybe you've seen the movie? Maybe? No? I'm getting a lot of blank looks. Okay. Well, the story is set in the summer of 1964, in the midst of the Civil Rights era in the rural South. One of the characters, Mae Boatwright, is an incredibly kind and deeply empathetic soul. Having lost her twin sister, April, at a young age, she carries the weight of the world's problems on her shoulders. And it's especially true when she encounters stories of racial injustice. And they just bring her down, and you see it. I've only ever seen the movie, I haven't read the book, but you see it in how she just sort of turns inward. And so to help her carry this grief, her sisters June and August create a kind of wailing wall based on the one in Jerusalem, where May can tuck her slips of paper with her prayers into the cracks of the stones. And she goes there often, because let's face it, the world isn't always an easy place, and it especially wasn't easy for an African-American woman in 1964 living in the rural South. Now, that story is fiction, but the truth it points to, there are many truths in that story, but the truth it points to is real, that the world can be a harsh place. Today we live in what Dr. Jesse Zink has called a polycrisis, a time when crises overlap and pile on top of each other. We have climate, economic, health, housing, opioid, political, just to name a few. And it's overwhelming. Sometimes it feels like the world has no hope of recovering. Sometimes we don't even know where to start looking for hope. And I think that's where we meet Jeremiah in today's reading. His lament is raw. Heavy with despair, we hear the exhaustion of someone who has poured himself into the work of justice and of truth, and it feels like no one is listening to him. Truly, the work of a prophet is thankless, and the work of calling for justice is costly, and Jeremiah knew that all too well. He was even imprisoned for his words at different points. At this moment in the scripture, he's not in prison. At this moment, he's perceiving the absolute bleakness of this moment, and he's despairing as he cries out, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" Gilead was known for having a healing ointment made from balsam trees indigenous to that land. And the land itself was often contested and shifted under the powers of empires. Peace was hard to come by there. And Jeremiah's question is really this: don't the people have what they need to change? Why? Why aren't they listening? Don't they see what's coming for them if they don't make changes? The answer is no. They don't. And even if they did, they weren't willing to do the deep work required. Superficial fixes are always easier than true transformation. comfort, the way we've always done things. It's always easier than change, even if we know it's not good for us. So in response, Jeremiah turns to God, and together they lament, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night." And sometimes all we can do is weep. Sometimes we know that things have to get worse before they can get better. Sometimes the harm is so great and the injustice so entrenched and the work so daunting that our best efforts feel like only a drop in the bucket. And yet, even that drop matters. It's never nothing. And we know it's not enough on its own. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, and with words like these, it's easy to see why. If you're looking for a quick and cheerful message of hope, this isn't it. If you're looking for a hope that's honest, if you're looking for hope that's born in rubble, if you're looking for hope that doesn't deny pain but carries it, well then, Jeremiah has something to offer. The key is, we cannot stop where the reading ends today. Jeremiah doesn't stop. He pauses. He laments, yes, but then he keeps going. And that, my friends, is where hope lives. It lives in the movement, in the persistence. Hope isn't a shortcut. It's not skin deep. Hope is the strength to remain alongside God in places of hope, or in places of hurt and injustice, and to keep working toward transformation. African American slaves heard Jeremiah's lament and turned that question of, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" into a proclamation. They sang, "There is a balm in Gilead." Their hymn acknowledged discouragement, wondering if their work was all in vain, but it also pointed to the renewing spirit of God and to Christ's redeeming love. It pointed to the promise that death and destruction don't get the last word. That song planted hope deep, not on the surface, but in the very marrow of faith. It's a song we sing too, not as slaves, though perhaps some of us might have had ancestors who were enslaved. Perhaps some of us had ancestors who were the slave owners. Regardless, we have all benefited by slavery. And still we sing that hymn, equally looking for hope in devastating times. And we lean into our denomination's call and vision to do that work of daring justice. It's part of a threefold vision: deep spirituality, bold discipleship, and daring justice. And so this summer at the United Church of Canada's 45th General Council meeting, we had the pleasure of listening to Dr. Karen Georgia Thompson, the General Minister and President of the United Church of Christ, who was our keynote speaker. And so she mused on this theme of daring justice and asked powerful questions. And so this next bit was written by her. I transcribed it, and I wanted to share it with you. So she asked, "What is the vision, the dream for life in the United Church of Canada? What is the prophetic witness? What is the bold and daring justice that we need to exhibit? What is the bold action that we will take?" And she continued, reminding us that by definition, these are her words, to be daring is to have courage to do something. To be daring is to defy or challenge someone to do something. To be daring is to take a risk. To be daring is to be brave. Daring justice is justice that is courageous, justice that challenges the church, challenges society, justice that challenges each one of us. Justice that requires risk and that costs us something. Daring justice is the path that the United Church of Canada is undertaking, and we are invited on this journey with the divine. And she continues by quoting 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, saying, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." And the last bit of what she said was, "Church, we get to walk in that power now. We get to walk in that power today because we are answering the call for what it means to be the church of today and tomorrow." That's only a fraction of the things that she said, and let me tell you, it was inspiring. And beloved, this is the work that we are about. We lament when things get heavy. We lament because we care. We grieve because we love and we hope. And when we grieve and when we lament, it makes us stronger. It makes us more tender. And sometimes those things seem at odds with each other, but they're not. They help us keep our heart in what we do. And they give us the drive to do what we need to do. And so we need grief and lament. And we keep going. We find that movement. We dare justice. We journey with God into the risk and the courage of making a new world possible. There will be moments when we feel like Jeremiah, weeping with no end in sight. And yet with him, we also trust that God's Holy Spirit is alive among us, healing us and calling us forward. There is a balm in Gilead, and we are invited to be a part of it. Now, we will sing that hymn, but it's the last hymn we're going to sing. Our next hymn is a new one to us. And it's one that talks about God's faithfulness. And it uses Hawaiian language to proclaim it. It's called Kamana o Io, and I'm sure I'm butchering that. But we're going to try the chorus, just saying it out loud, the Hawaiian part. And I know it takes us out of our comfort zone to sing in a different language. And I know if we don't try new things, we're going to get stuck in a rut, because that's how it happens with everything. Not just singing, not just church, our lives. And we also want to live into our denomination's call to be an intercultural church. And part of that is learning to sing in other languages. And so I'm going to say this, hopefully not too badly, and you're going to say it back to me. And we'll say it a couple times, just to see if we can get our mouth around those words. So, Kamana o Io. Okuka kua kua. All right? And then faithful is our God. So, Kamana o Io. Okuka kua kua. Do you think we can try that? Let's try it. The rest of it's in English. It's just that line. And it repeats itself, so we get to practice. So let's join together and sing about our faithful God. Thank you. How'd it go? I could hear you. Good job. This is our time for faith sharing and for silent meditation. So this is a time where if you have a story to share about where God's at work in your life, where you've seen God at work in the world, something from the scriptures that have piqued your thoughts and started some kind of process going that you want to share with us, something about where you see the church doing the work that we are called to, you are most welcome to come and share those stories now. I invite you to introduce yourself, because as much as we usually know each other, we know that we have brain blips and we can't always remember each other's names, even though sometimes we could tell you our life story or the other person's life story. The name just doesn't come, right? So we've got that. And if no one wants to come and share, we will sit quietly and let the Holy Spirit speak to us in that quiet.
Good morning, my name is Paul. I'm from Montreal City Mission. I've been visiting some United Church in Ontario and in Quebec, and I'm proud to be here. My shoes, those ones, I have faith in my shoes, but wherever I walk, I'm always in front of people wearing shoes and have faith. And today, it gives me hope because I saw a lot of shoes going up to the front, bringing a stone. Thank you for your creativity. Thank you for her creativity. Yeah. This brings hope to everyone to say that a little bit we could do with our shoes, walking a mile in them, could go a long way. And that's what I'd like to share with you. Thank you.
Hi everyone, it's Carolyn Ruda, and for weeks now, it has bothered me, the hate that is seeping into Canada, the organizations that have moved into Canada who are all about hate for other people. But what really got me this week was the Williamstown Fair. They had to write a letter because, now we all know the Williamstown Fair has been going on for years and years and years and years. It's one of the oldest ones. This year, for the first time, they had a group of people that were going around the fair with race-related slurs, just hateful comments to the staff, those working at the fair. And it just broke my heart because what is wrong with the Williamstown Fair? What did they do wrong as far as these people were concerned? But then I thought, this really highlights how much we are needed. Us, who believe in welcoming everyone, of being inclusive, of always being there for people. That this church needs to be here. That when people feel like the rest of the world is shutting them out, we are there for them. And so we have to continue. We have to be that loving, concerned congregation that we've always been, welcoming everyone because of this hate that seems to have sprung up all over. But when it affects a Williamstown fair, a fair, really, that is really, really sad.
Shirley Wellman. I was thinking as I was driving over this morning, often when I have something on my mind, I think about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as you go through so many of the messages we have from our Lord within our ability, in our Bible, here at church, in the people we see, and the people we see doing the things that need to be done, and doing the right things when someone is doing something that should not be done. We're asked to love God, seek justice, and love our fellow men. And as I was going along, I thought about the shepherd, the good shepherd, and how the good shepherd cares for his sheep. We know many good shepherds have dogs that help them. And in my strange little quirky mind, I thought, we are the God's dogs of God. Let's get out there and start to work.
Hello, Kim Robinson. I think everybody has that one person in their family that is kind of the Iron Lady. Everybody's afraid of her or him. And you respect them, you love them. I have such an aunt. She has always been the person to keep all the kids in line. She was not a bad person. She just was very firm. I was talking to her the other day and I said that, we could use a little, help. I said, Todd had a job interview. So she looks at me, she goes, I will pray for him. So he went, had the interview, came home 2 days later, was offered the job. And my brain went, even God is afraid to go against my aunt, and decided that it was time to cut us a break. And it's just, I know, it's just one of those things, even God was afraid of my aunt. So I just figured I'd share that. It was just, I thought it was funny, and I figured you guys would see the humor in it.
Hi, I'm Keitha Lewis. I'd just like to say that I think that the sermon that Aaron had today was so appropriate for the world we live in. And I pray every night, please God, help people's minds be changed. Not pointing fingers, but I hope that the Republicans in the United States will start speaking up and defending their country the way they should, because we can't stand this much longer. Thank you.
Friends, God calls us to do the work of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. At least that's where God calls us as this community of faith. And so we offer our resources, our treasures, our time, our talent, our ability, our finances to do that work. And we take a moment to present those and the other rocks that we held with our prayers this morning. So let's present our offering. Let's pray over what we offer. Holy God, we have shared our treasures, our time, ability, and resources, that they might be used for peace and justice in our world, and for the well-being of all creation. Guide us, O God, to keep our focus on the needs of others and the needs of this planet. Bless all that we give for the ministry that we do together, that we might make your love evident in our world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. God of tears and of courage, we come before you as people who know the weight of this world. Like Jeremiah, we lament the brokenness around us. Like him, we ask, is there no balm? Hear now our prayers for a world aching for healing and for hope. We pray for places where violence and war continue to steal lives and to destroy the earth. We pray for leaders hardened by pride or greed, for communities torn apart by hatred and division. God, we weep with you. May your peace take root. We pray for folks caught in the web of crises, all who struggle with the cost of housing, all who live with addiction, all who face the devastation of climate change, all who do not have adequate health care. God, we lament with you. May your justice roll down like waters. We pray for your church, that we might be bold and daring in justice, brave in compassion, and persistent in hope. Give us strength not to turn away from lament, but to keep us journeying with you toward a new life. We ask all this in the name of the Christ, the one who is a balm on our hearts, and the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn, as I mentioned earlier, There Is a Balm in Gilead. Let's sing. Beloved, go into the world with courage, knowing that God, our Creator, weeps alongside of us and continues to heal this world, that God, the Spirit, laments with us and strengthens us, and God, our Savior, redeems and renews us even now. Go in peace to love, to risk, to dare justice. In the name of God, our Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Sustainer. Amen.
Bell people,